is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And continue to explain a little bit of what that is, maybe to get a better enlightenment of what that truly is talking about. In Galatians chapter 2, we saw around verse 20 that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless that I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We see that Christ is in us. We talked over there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, that it's a mystery that when we got born again, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that God deposited within us a seed of himself. 1 John 3:9 talks about that. We've been born of God. I would like to begin to show you this morning what that seed is, what that seed contains of, and maybe then touch on a facet of what that seed is in us, what that seed's potential power is able to do in our individual lives. Sometimes I don't think we understand as a church everything that God has provided for us through even the new birth. Jesus said, if you understood this gift of God, it is like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John, one of his apostles, disciples, said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Paul here writing said, it's Christ in us. In Colossians, it's the hope of glory. It's the seed of God that he's placed within us. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting around verse 21, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. When God placed that seed into us, he anointed us with a partial or a down payment of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this. Who has sealed us and given to us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts or our spirits. So when we accepted Jesus Christ and God placed his divine nature in us through that seed of God that he placed or set within us, he placed within us a down payment of that Holy Spirit inside of us. We have to also understand that every Christian or every male or female, child, youth, adult that has accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior have the same measure of this anointing inside their spirit. There's no greater release. It's an amount of anointing that we're sealed with. And that sealment we won't talk about today, but God places a seal on us. Like when bankers put a seal upon money, you cannot break that seal because that seal gives ownership to that money. And whoever breaks that seal disobeys the ownership of that money and can get in a lot of legal trouble. And so God seals us in the realm of the Spirit. That's why we begin to see spiritual activity in our life, because we basically become a marked man in the realm of the Spirit. God seals us, our spirit, with a measure or an anointing of the Holy Ghost inside of our spirit when we were born again. And notice there that establishment, us in Christ, but notice also it goes on and it says an earnestness, which is a down payment. The new birth is just one of the facets of what the Holy Spirit will begin to do. It's one of the first payments or installments that God gives us through his, by the power of his Spirit, that he begins to work in our lives. In other words, if the Holy Spirit begins to bring a deliverance in your life, that's another down payment of the Holy Ghost begins to operate in your spirit. We're not talking about that either this morning. But I want you to see there that we have inside of us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, living and dwelling in us. And at the same measure, we all began and walk in each day of our lives. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. Remember, Satan is the god of this world. But God that created the heaven and earth is greater than he. And he dwells in us by God the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, it begins to confirm this same truth. We begin to see in verse 20 that we have received an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. I'm perplexed and amazed how many times as I get around Christians that they say, I don't understand the Word of God. I don't understand the Bible. And that's okay. But I want you to begin to meditate upon these scriptures that I'm giving you today and begin to think and renew your mind to these scriptures, because it says that that anointing in us, that down payment of the Holy Spirit that He placed in us, and I'm going to show you in a moment, becomes our teacher to teach us the truth of God's Word. How the Word became flesh and dwell among us to show us forth the glory of the Father through grace and truth. And that Spirit within us begins to take that truth, the knowledge of God's Word, and begins to reveal it to us that we begin to know all things. I looked this up. This not only pertains to the spiritual realm, but also to the natural realm. If you ever get to a place where maybe you don't have a manual for something or a maintenance book for something and you just don't know what to do, you can also turn to the same anointing inside of you and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly what to do here, but I ask you to help me. And if you learn to walk by the Spirit, if you learn to know that inward voice of the Holy Ghost, that still small voice, and know that leading of that Spirit that's inside of you, He will even guide you in natural things that you have to do on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit knows everything. God was the creator of everything that we can see in the heavens and the earth. He knows how it operates. He knows how it functions. He's created. He's brought it forth through Christ. And He can give us insight into those things that we touch in our daily lives. Notice this in verse 27. Goes on to talk us even deeper. But the anointing, remember, 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22 talks about that anointing, that partial, the down payment of the Holy Ghost. In 1 John 2, 20 there, we have an unction and an anointing from the Holy One. That's God. He anointed us, it said over there in Corinthians. He anointed us. God anointed us through that seed that He placed within our spirit when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. He placed that seed within us that has this portion, this anointing of the Holy Ghost that lives and dwells and remains in us forever. So we meet Him. It's a down payment. And when we get into heaven, it says over in Ephesians that we get the full payment of what He just down payment on us in this life. This is just a taste of what we're going to have when we get to heaven. What He done for us through the new birth and through the movements of the Spirit in our life and the times that we have in prayer and through the Word is only a down payment of yet what we're going to experience of the kindness and goodness of God when we pass from this life into the next. In verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. Where does He abide? In you. You do not need that any man, any person teach you. In the old covenant, they would teach their sons, and their sons would teach their sons. Then the Levites and the priests would teach the people. But in this new covenant, as we learn, when we've got remission of sins, and He remembers our sins no more, He said, from the greatest to the least shall know me. And so in this new covenant through Christ, every individual that's been born of the Spirit received the same seed of God inside them, the divine nature of God's eternal life, and has the ability to teach us. It's a portion or a measure or a down payment of that Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in us. Wow, no wonder it's a mystery that I got God living in me. When I began to dawn on that, even after being in a ministry for 5-10 years, began to confess this over my life. Remember those things that you sayeth. Believe in your heart and confess with the mouth, you shall be saved. You begin to believe in this and begin to speak this over your life and hold on to that great confession that the Holy Spirit, God, dwells in me. It will begin to change and renew your mind to a different aspect of life. But notice this, it goes on, you need not any man to teach you. We have to be careful there about going to church or being taught by a pastor or teacher. That's not what it's talking about there. But the same anointing, that same measure of that Holy Spirit that dwells in us, teaches us of all things. And I don't know where school you went to, but the school I went to taught me all is all. If one person in this room was not considered in all of us together, then that would not be all. It'd be a portion of us. Or many of us, or several of us. But all is all. There is nothing that God does not know, and there is nothing hidden from His sight, or He does not discern or understands that He cannot lead and guide and direct us in those things. That same anointing teaches us all things, and is the truth. is no lie. Hold on to that. Is the truth and is no lie. It says over in John that Satan was the liar from the beginning, that he was the original murderer, that he was the father of all lies. This anointing that we receive, this Holy Spirit that we have received in the new birth, is the truth. And it will lead you and guide you into the full knowledge of God's full counsel of wisdom and truth. There's no lie even that has taught you. You shall abide in him. Let's look at some more of these scriptures. We're going to start in John chapter 14. And I think these bear witness of that anointing that's in us. This is just one facet. You will begin to see in John 14, it talks about a comforter that we shall receive. And that comforter, or the Holy Spirit that we receive, has many parts or facets to the Holy Spirit of what his work is in us. I think we haven't even touched of the well of water that's inside of us and taught the church of who dwells in us and the ability, the potential of that power that dwells and remains in us. He's a comforter in us. Sometimes at death, when we lose a loved one, we need comfort. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. Sometimes we need help or an assistance in life. It says in the Bible that the Holy Ghost is our helper. Sometimes we need a mediator, an attorney in our life. It says that the Holy Ghost is your attorney, your mediator. Sometimes we need someone to pray for us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit in us is our intercessor. Sometimes we need somebody to supplicate for us, to plead our case to somebody. It says in the Bible that the Holy Ghost is our supplicator. Sometimes you need a word of counseling. You know, you don't know exactly know what to do. You pray over there in James 1. I think it's verse 5 that we ask God for wisdom. He gives liberally. And so he's our counselor. He can give us wisdom in the times of need that we need to know what to do. He can give us that wisdom. He's our counselor. There's so much of the Holy Ghost in us that we haven't even touched on. But today I'd like to teach you that he's your teacher in you. It said that that same anointing in you will teach you of all things. He is not a lie. It is the truth. Let's look at that. In John 14 and verse 16, I will pray to the Father. And I like to build the scenario of this. Here's Jesus. He's ready to go to his hour to be glorified, to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. If you notice in chapter 13, 12 and 13, it's building up to Judas Iscariot. And he gave him a sup. And it says in the Bible that Satan entered into Judas, and Jesus said to him, go do what you got to do quickly. So if Satan literally entered into Judas Iscariot, and he went into Jerusalem to get the chief priests and the scribes, Satan was out of the area, because he's only a fallen angel, so he's not everywhere like God is. He's not omnipresent. And so here the devil's gone. He's dwelling in Judas, and Jesus begins to break down some of the most awesome truth I feel in my heart that he begins to reveal in his ministry. He begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. He begins to talk about the new comforter that's going to come. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another comforter, and he's going to live and dwell not only with you, but in you. And he begins to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit while Satan is occupied over there somewhere in Jerusalem. But in the upper room, Jesus is expounding to his disciples, teaching them about the Holy Spirit that is about to be poured out when he's resurrected up. Interesting, isn't it? And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And that comforter is the same as helper, mediator, supplicator, intercessor, counselor, helper, and so forth and so on. Teacher is talking about the Holy Ghost here, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John 17, 17 tells us the Word of God is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. So when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you the Word of God, guess what you begin to receive? The truth of God. Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us to show us God's glory so that we might come into the full knowledge of God's truth. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you shall know him, for he not only dwell with you, but he shall be in you. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. When you leave this building today, the Holy Spirit is in you. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, where you go and what you do, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And remember, I taught you the difference between relationship and fellowship. He will never break that relationship with you. If you need to restore fellowship because of some sin, you go to 1 John 1:9. You confess your sins. He's true and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And He remembers it no more. And your fellowship is restored. Let's look down in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. We see the Trinity there, don't we? The Holy Ghost, the Father, in the name of Jesus. He shall teach you all things. Here it is again. Teach you all things. Don't say to the Holy Spirit that you don't know the Word of God. You have the greatest teacher living inside of you 24/7, and He will teach you all things, that you will know all things about who God is, who Christ is in you, what it is all about. Don't continue to smack Him in the face and spit Him in His eye and tell Him that you don't understand His Word when you've got the Holy Ghost, the teacher, dwelling in you. I was ninth, quit school. I had 3 credits to my name. One of those credits was Jim. Me and my older brother look a lot alike. The teacher was an alcoholic, and so he marked me down present every day, and I didn't go one time, and I got an A. That's one credit. I earned 2 others. I won't tell you what they were. I'm not proud of them. But thank God, now you understand why I went back to college and got a master's degree. It was something I had to do. Something I just felt inside my heart I had to do. Because I wanted to prove that this Holy Spirit that dwells in me could teach me to know Him and His scriptures and the theology about Him and who He is to me. And He could teach me everything about Him. And I proved it out. But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father was sent in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things back to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26. And I have declared unto thee, and thy name will declare. Whoops, excuse me, I skipped over one page there. Verse 26, John 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. And verse 27, He also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit dwells in you to teach you anything that you need to know. You need to learn to take time in the Word of God and look to your spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to get involved with your life. He knows all things of the realm of the Spirit and the realm of the natural. We have no excuse. As born-again creatures in Christ, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Verse 13. Now remember, you have your part to do. If you have a manual sitting there to tell you how to do something, and you ignore doing that, he's not a God that's foolish either. He's expecting you to do your part. You read the manual, and He'll help you understand the manual. He's not going to override some of the basic principles of life. Amen. In John 16:13, how about He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into what? All truth. For He shall not speak. That anointing that you received in you shall know all things. 1 John 2:20-27, that anointing in you shall teach you of all things. In John 16:13, not only is the Spirit of truth will come, He will guide you into all the truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He shall speak, and He shall show you things to come. He will glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are now mine. Therefore, said I, He shall take of what is now mine, and I will show it unto you. That's covenant. Everything that God has is now yours. To the blood shed, the shed blood of Jesus. Verse 23 I like, but we'll skip that for time's sake. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I would like to show you how the Spirit of God begins to reveal this to us. Wrap it up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's start at verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man or the spirit of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Everything that God wants you to know is dwelling in you. And that truth of what he wants you to know can be released through the knowledge of his truth, the word of God. As you begin to study that, that measure of anointing, that down payment of the Holy Ghost that he has given us, can begin to open our eyes and begin to show us his truth. This truth came to me twice, why I stopped there for a second. Remember the story of Elijah running from Jezebel, and he went into the cave. And he began to get real depressed, and he began to believe that he was the only man alive that served God. And there was something very astounding that God began to show Elijah that I'd like to just reveal to you. He said there was an earthquake, and the Spirit of God said to him, the voice of God was not in the earthquake. There was a great fire, and he begins to show the prophet that he was not in the fire either. Then there was great winds and great disturbances, and he began to show him that he wasn't involved with that either, that his voice was not in there. But notice then he says this. He said, in the small stillness of the voice, you shall hear God. In Romans 8:14 through 16, it begins to say that we're to be led by the Spirit of God, and we that are of the Spirit should be witness that small, still voice inside of you. You've got to begin to learn. The same Spirit that teaches you the Word of God will begin to lead you to know all things. That same voice that teaches you to know Him, that begins to reveal to you the Word of God, will be the same Spirit that will lead you in your daily life into things to know and to come. We got to know him. And one of the ways to come to know him is by this, by getting to understand the Spirit of truth that's in you, that Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Greater is he that is in us than he's in the world. And he can begin to teach us. He can begin to open our eyes of our spirit. He can begin to renew our minds with the Word of God, transforming us out of the way of the world and bring us into the knowledge of God's truth and establishing us in his principles and who he is. But God has revealed them, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's revealed these truths unto us, those things that we yet have not come into. I do not believe that I'm in the fullness of his truth yet. I seek it daily. But God has revealed these unto us by his Spirit. How's God going to let us know his truth? By the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. For yeah, the Spirit searches all the things, yeah, the depthness or the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of a man, but the spirit of man which is in him. I got to talk to Chris or Terry or Howard or Royce yesterday for hours. And they could hide from me what's truly inside their hearts. But only their heart truly knows what manner of man they really are. Same thing with God. The Spirit of God knows who God is because the Spirit of God is God. And he wants to reveal that who he is to us through the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us. That's what this means. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. What man knows, the things of man, but the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. God has placed within you himself to reveal himself to you on a daily basis. If we will begin to take advantage of this, your life in 6 months will be so different. If you just take 5 minutes a day in the Word of God and begin to, I'm going to show you in a moment how to use this principle. And if you begin to do this, your life will be so different within 6 months. You will be shocked. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We might know him, the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words with man's wisdom speak, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The things that pertain and belong unto the things of the Holy Ghost. The things that pertain and belong unto God, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to reveal those things unto you through your spirit, through the knowledge of God's truth. That's how God established it to be done. Yes, you can sit under teachers. Yes, you can listen to good tapes. Yes, you can read good books. But there's nothing that equals the same as taking a daily sit and meditate before God daily in a quietness and a stillness of day and allow the Holy Ghost through that small still voice to begin to reveal to you the principles and the knowledge of God's truth and begin to reveal them to you. There's nothing that will match it. Matter of fact, you can get really kind of, I hate to use the word high, but it can really give you an incredible high, incredible peace to spend that time in God. Then it goes on, it says, which things also speak not with the words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teaching us, comparing to our spirit the things that are of the Spirit of God. The natural mind receives not these things of the Spirit of God. Your mind's just not going to be able to understand it. Remember, I shared with you, until you renew your mind with the Word of God, your mind's not going to reject it. It's going to fight it. It's not going to understand it, but your spirit instantly will receive it. It can be, faith can be in your heart and in your mouth. Now notice this, it goes on. For they are foolishness unto the natural mind, the things of the Spirit of God, the things of the Word of God. It's foolishness to the natural mind. Neither can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual will begin to judge, examine, will begin to scrutinize, will begin to have a lifestyle of examining the Word of God in their personal life. And he himself then will be judged of no man. They themselves, if they examine their own lives through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God that dwells in them, the promise of God is that you yourself will not be examined and scrutinized by others. For he has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that good? We have the mind of Christ. Who dwells in us? Christ dwells in us. The hope of glory. It says that the Holy Spirit that God placed in us when we were born again, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we said, Jesus, come into our heart, forgive us of everything we've ever done, and all of us instantly, in a moment of a second, faster than you can twinkle an eye, he placed within you a seed of God after he took out of that nature sin and death and placed within you his own very divine nature of his eternal life. And within that seed was a down payment of this Holy Spirit to begin to renew your life to the mind of Christ Jesus himself. That you can begin to understand God like Christ himself understood it. Now, let's go to Ephesians in closing. And I want to show you over here that we can begin to apply this principle in our daily lives. Not only can you pray this for your individual life, but I can tell you another thing, it'll work on your mates and your children. Me and Brenda has done it to me. I've done it to her. And we've done it to our own children. Amen? And we do it to church members. So I wasn't going to say that, but I do say it now. In Ephesians 1, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you. And I used to pray it like this for myself. I cease not to give thanks for Matthew. Making mention of Matthew in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto I, Matthew, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ. That I, Matthew Farkas' spiritual eyes, of I, Matthew Farkas' understanding, be enlightened, that I, Matthew Farkas, may come to know the hope of my calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and I, Matthew J. Farkas, that I can come to know the exceeding greatness of his power, to I, Matthew Farkas, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, so forth and so on. You can begin to pray this prayer over your life. I've done it, I'm up in the thousands, if not ten thousands of times. I still do it every day. I did it before I even come out in the pulpit today. You can pray these prayers constantly over your life. It'll change your life. You can also begin to pray this truth over somebody's life. Let's say someone doesn't understand healing. Or let's say someone doesn't understand God in a certain area. Take that truth, that verse, and begin to pray that that man's prayer, put his name or her name in there, and begin to pray that their eyes will begin to see that truth. You will be surprised within days, if not months, that person will begin to understand that truth. Begin to use the Word of God in your life. Say, Father, I used to go up in the room and I'd pray till I got quiet. My mind would get quiet. Then I would ask that Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me to begin to open up the Word of God to me. And then I would ask him to open my eyes and my spirit. And he began to show me the depthness of his Word. And I think you're beginning to experience what he's been showing me over the years. You haven't even tapped into the well that's inside of me yet. You haven't even touched, scarred what's inside of me that God's placed inside of me that I yet want to preach and teach. God will not let you down in this. Amen? Begin to use that teacher that's inside of you. Begin to understand the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. Begin to take advantage of what you received when you were born again. Greater is he that is in you than is he in the world. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for who we are and who we're becoming. Father God, before we can go into any more truth, I think we need to understand that we can begin to understand every facet of you, Father. That we can begin to take that Spirit of God that you have given us, that measure, that down payment till we get to heaven. We can begin to ask that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to begin to open our eyes of our spirit, that we can begin to understand God's truth, that we can begin to understand who you are and know all things about you, and that you, Holy Spirit, can begin to give us the mind of Christ, that we can begin to understand you in a way that we have never understood before you. Father, we ask you to forgive us if we have ever said to you that we don't understand your word or we don't understand your ways. We now ask you to forgive us, and we turn now to the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And you promised us, Father, that you would give us the ability through your Spirit to know all things about you. Bring forth that mind of Christ in each member and each member of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.